This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Do the atheists in Wisconsin realize they're going to hell?
Well, as John Lennon said, there's no hell below us. Hello, all you goddamned atheists and agnostics. Mark Twain would have told Bill O'Reilly, heaven for climate, hell for society, and freethinkers today might add, smile, there is no hell. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. There is no hell, but I think if there were a heaven, having to spend an eternity with Bill O'Reilly might come very close to it.
That would be the real way to punish atheists.
This is the November 24th, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. The show is produced and broadcast in Madison, Wisconsin. And we also broadcast in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, and still in Ithaca?
Yes.
In Ithaca, New York?
Don't forget Ithaca. There's actually three places in the area.
And New York City. And, of course, a few days later, we podcast.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And you probably know by now that we are a national, actually international, state church watchdog. We have members in every state, in every province, some in Mexico and around the globe. And we work to keep religion out of government here in the United States, which is a big job. And we work to educate the public about non-theism.
We have two newsmakers on today's show who will join us a little later. Chris Calvi of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's a grad student there. His campus group scored a big coup about a week ago when they applied for and received word that they are likely to get almost $70,000 in segregated fee money for their student group. They're fighting back against all this student funding going to Catholic groups. Chris is with a student group called AHA, Atheists, Humanists, and Agnostics, and we'll be talking with him about this major development.
Our second newsmaker is an FFRF member named Damon Vicks. We've had him on the show before. He's from Santa Monica, and he is the person who really started this pushback against Christian displays dominating Palisades Parks in Santa Monica every year for an entire month every year for 58 years. It's been in the news. There was a court decision this week that has ended the displays. Damon is going to tell us how he started this whole protest that has resolved a major state church entanglement, and he'll be with us on the second half of Free Thought Radio.
But we have some news first. As you heard, Bill O'Reilly attacked FFRF about a week ago in a Fox News segment complaining about FFRF's victory ending a government-sponsored nativity display at the entrance of the Borough Municipal Building in Elwood City, Pennsylvania.
So for enforcing the separation of church and state, for being, as Bill O'Reilly likes to call his audience, patriots, and supporting the First Amendment, this is what we get for it.
Do the atheists in Wisconsin realize they're going to hell?
So was he joking or was he serious?
Well, he claimed after that, oh, this is a joke. Well, then...
Of course, he's a Catholic. He believes in hell. Mm-hmm. So there is a hell.
Then, maybe the hell is having to watch Bill O'Reilly. Then Pat Robertson had to get in his licks.
Well, it's, Christmas all over again. The Grinch is trying to steal our holiday. It's been so beautiful. The nation comes together. We sing Christmas carols. We give gifts to each other. We have lighted trees, and it's just a beautiful thing. Atheists don't like our happiness. They don't want you to be happy. They want you to be miserable. They're miserable, so they want you to be miserable. So they want to steal your holiday away from you.
Yeah. Of course, as we always like to say, the Christians stole Christmas. And we like to get together, and we like to have lights at the darkest time of year, and we like to have feasts and gift exchanges. And this is a custom that far predates Christianity in the Northern Hemisphere. For a millennia, the winter solstice season has been celebrated, leading up to the shortest and darkest day of the year and the literal rebirth of the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N, the new year. And so, you know, they really are very ignorant of what's going on, but there is no war against Christmas. We are not going into their churches and dragging people out of their pews. We're not firebombing churches. We're not setting on fire nativity displays on church
lawns.
Well,
we've been called terrorists by some of these.
Yes, we were theocrats. Just called a terrorist. We could talk about a Santa Monica attorney a couple days ago called me that on a Huffington Post. I mean, this is really ridiculous.
And can we steal Christmas from them? They're free to celebrate it in their churches and in their homes.
That's right. All we are saying is that the government cannot prefer Christianity over other religions or religion over non-religion, and it shouldn't be promoting and preferring and promoting, you know, throughout the whole month of December, Christian devotional beliefs. And that is not a war on Christmas.
We're going to be talking with Damon Vicks about the nativity scenes in Santa Monica, California.
So don't we have a preview here?
We do. Last year we ran a whole news story, but here's just a little snippet of the interview that he gave on local news in Santa Monica.
Christianity is a myth, according to this Christmas time display in Santa Monica's favorite public park. The Bay City has long accommodated counter-Christmas observances, as well as a series of nativity scenes made of vintage props and mannequins. Nativity chairman Hunter Jameson says for many years, 13 local churches and a police officers group have each sponsored a nativity scene. But this season, there will be room for only three, plus one Hanukkah display, because other non-religious groups had more luck in the city's new lottery for display space.
We have more of a voice.
Self-described atheist Damon Vicks did not win space, but is allied with the two who claimed the lion's share. Vicks acknowledges hanging the Freedom from Religious banner and helping to build the display that puts Christianity in the same realm with Santa Claus and Poseidon.
Our point is that these religious displays are offensive. Now I'm using the system to promote my point of view. That's true, but no more so than the Christians have been doing for many years.
That was Damon Vicks, and that was Santa Monica's NBC News. And we're going to talk with Damon
on the second half of the show. But coming up now, we will have Chris Calvi talking about this real coup for an atheist student group getting all this funding. And then whose birthday is it?
Well, today, November 24th, is the birthday of Scott Joplin, the king of ragtime, who was thoroughly non-religious. He didn't get married in a church. He never wrote religious music. He wrote a kind of free thought feminist musical. So listen for more of Scott Joplin's music in the rest of today's show.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie. And we have as a guest on the phone from Chicago, where he's staying this weekend with his folks for Thanksgiving, a grad student, Chris Calvi. And congratulations, Chris, on this big news. Why don't you tell us what that news was?
Yeah, well, thank you, Annie Laurie and Dan. It's an honor to be on Free Thought Radio. And yeah, the big news is my student group at the University of Wisconsin, the Atheists, Humanists, and Agnostics.
Uh-huh.
We were recently approved for a budget just a little bit shy of $70,000. And that is actually the highest amount of funding that any atheist student group has ever received.
Well, congratulations. Well, I was impressed because I heard that the University of Minnesota group got $10,000 like that last year, and they've been in existence for about 20 years. And how long has your group been in existence?
Yeah, AHA was founded in about 2005. I took over right around 2009 when I arrived for graduate school. And, yeah, we've just been trying to grow a little bit every year.
I remember meeting you in Champaign-Urbana, where you you worked as an undergraduate with the student group there. You've been doing this for a long time then, student campus free thought activism.
Yeah, definitely. It's really very helpful that I have some experience in this. Yeah. I've been doing it for over 5 years now. And I think that's why when I arrived here, I was really able to turn this group around and take it from a group where we were having meetings of about 5 to 10 people in a basement of the Humanities Building to today when we're one of the biggest and best organized groups in the country.
Well, good for you. So you're working on your PhD, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm studying cellular and molecular biology, or more specifically, I'm working on getting yeast to make biofuels.
So you're one of the smart guys on campus, huh?
Well, I do what I can.
Now, I think that we need to go into the background a little bit for listeners who might not be familiar with this. This is segregated fees, student segregated fee money, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit of a long story, but students every semester, they pay these segregated fees, like you mentioned, in addition to their tuition. And the majority of those fees go towards things like our student bus passes, our student gyms and healthcare and things like that, construction projects on campus. A relatively small amount goes towards the Associated Students of Madison, which is like the student government. And one of the things that they do with that money is assign it to student organizations who apply for funding. So most student groups, they get these small grants like operations grants to help them with their day-to-day expenses, or event grants for putting on events on campus, or travel grants to send them to conferences.
Or the Catholic Church, which,
yeah, right.
This is what kind of, I'm assuming, propelled you. I mean, there's been litigation over this, and students have really been forced to fund the Catholic Church, which, you know, then started a student group. What is it, Badger Catholics?
Yeah.
To be more ostensibly a student group. And there was litigation in 2007, and the university, to its credit, tried not to fund devotional things, and then they lost that lawsuit. And they had tried to deny, they were giving funding to the Catholics, but they were saying not for things used for worship. And that was the part of the lawsuit that they lost. So you are giving the Catholic Church the old one too.
Yeah, so in addition to those smaller grants I mentioned, there's this kind of holy grail of student organization funding, which is the General Student Services Fund, which is a kind of a one-stop shop for student organizations. And they get these gigantic budgets to it covers all of their programming and events, and also it pays student staff members also.
How much did the Catholic group get?
Yeah, so for the past 5 years or so, the biggest Catholic group on campus, Badger Catholic, has gotten in the range of $100,000 to over $200,000. Every year. So when I got on campus, that was something that had always been bothering me. And we did a lot of research into exactly what they were doing. And it turns out that the service that they're providing, all of these groups, by the way, the GSSF groups, have to provide a service to students. So the Catholic group provides a service called faith advising. Okay, so
oh,
they're
going
to provide faith advising. We figured, well, we're going to provide a service called faith questioning.
And that is a very needed service. And let's hope this is the beginning of, you know, a kind of secular, I guess, bureaucracy on campus where you can get salaries and perpetuate yourself, just like the Catholic group.
But you'd have to call it the unholy grail of funding now.
Chris, you put on, even without this kind of funding last spring, a phenomenal event. You got awarded by the Secular Student Alliance for this, the Free Thought Festival?
Yeah, the Free Thought Festival, it's our biggest outreach event of the year. We bring in speakers from all over the country, including Annie Laurie from the FFRF and also Andrew Seidel.
Yeah, we didn't have to travel too far. Just about 10 minutes away.
Yes. I should mention your listeners can mark their calendars for the second annual Free Thought Festival, which is coming up March 8th through 10th, 2013. And it's totally free and open to the public, so I hope we have an even bigger turnout than last year.
Well, and if you have gotten your funds by then, this is something that you'd be able, I assume, to use some of that funding for?
So these funds that we were approved for don't kick in until next year.
Oh, okay.
They won't pay for this current Free Thought Festival. We're going to have to get another event grant for that. But it was one of the programs that we requested in our budget, and they gave us something like $16,000 to put on the Free Thought Festival next year. So we've already got that funding set up.
So what are the other things that you put in the application? What are the things you're going to be doing with this money?
Quite a bit of things. We got some money to start a Free Thought library of our own.
Wow.
We're going to have our own computer and printer that we're going to have in our brand new office space. We got quite a bit of funding for advertising in the student newspapers on campus and with flyering on campus. And also, like I mentioned, this budget that allows you to pay your own student staff. So we're now going to have 8 paid staff members. So if you were impressed by what AHA has done in the past few years, just imagine what we can do when we have some permanent staff around.
Wow.
Now, those would be just very part-time positions, though.
It is part-time, that's right. But
that's where
allow people to dedicate a lot more time to the group.
But for students, any stipend is a good thing these days.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand that a lot of the campus groups have to justify their budget by pointing to their successful events. And this Free Thought Festival probably impressed the student government in that you were able to draw a crowd.
Yeah, they really like to have numbers available. So when we can point to an event like that and say that, you know, give us this money and 700 or 1,000 students are going to get going to be able to benefit from it, you know, that's impressive to them.
Well, it was very, and like I said, you got an award from the Secular Student Alliance for, I forget what the award was, but because of the numbers that you drew for this, was this the first major event?
Yeah, I think the award was Best Educational Event.
And, there you go.
Yeah, and that was our first attempt at making organizing a conference, too, so it's only going to get better in the future.
Now, you would probably be urging all secular clubs at public universities around the country to go after segregated student fees, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I do hope that this is going to be a source of inspiration for other secular student groups around the country. I think that it really depends on the university that they go to, and there might be different bureaucracies that they have to deal with.
Yeah, but UW-Madison is, what, 45,000? It's a Big Ten university, and in Madison, which is so liberal, you got a big pool of non-believers to draw from,
yeah. I would,
compared to some other colleges around the country.
It is easier to get funding at big state schools like this rather than like a small private university.
I've spoken at events around the country where they're lucky if they get 50 people to show up. In their meetings, they have maybe 6 or 8 or 12 or 15 students. So Madison is quite special.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, also, I mean, this is fighting fire with fire. I mean, with this kind of, with student, I think it's very wrong that student segregated fees have had to go toward worship. But then it can only be correct that the other side should be also funded. So if they're going to fund worship, then they have to be able to fund, atheist humanism. What's the name of it?
Yeah.
Let me get that right.
Atheist humanists and agnostics, yeah.
Yes.
Going into this, that was what we had in mind was that this was going to be an experiment. And we realized that the services that we could provide were very similar to what Badger Catholic was doing. So
needed.
True. So either they were going to, you know, consider our group fairly and give us the money, or, you know, they were going to try to block us, and, you know, then there would be lawsuits if they weren't going to treat us in a viewpoint-neutral manner.
And what the world really needs is a better-informed, critical-thinking audience. So we're running out of time. That's Chris Calvi. Congratulations again on this major coup.
Nice to talk to you again, Chris. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll be speaking with Damon Vicks, who's in the news again this year because of the success in the city of Santa Monica, outlawing nativity scenes in the park there on the ocean. So stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and thank you again, Chris Calvi, and for your great coup in scoring some funding for secular students.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
Do the atheists in Wisconsin realize they're going to hell?
Bill O'Reilly again. We have to keep listening to his voice, don't we? I'm one of those atheists in Wisconsin who's, if there is a hell, happily going there. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And in a minute, we're going to introduce our next guest. But first, we want to set the scene with a little news update about what is going on in Santa Monica, and this is KTLA-5.
There will be no nativity scenes at Palisades Park in Santa Monica this holiday season. Today, a federal judge upheld a ban on the decades-old tradition.
The attorney representing a coalition of churches says the atheists won today in federal Judge Audrey Collins' court. It's a story that caught national headlines over a year ago when Santa Monica city leaders slowly but surely banned unattended signs like these nativity scenes that are displayed at Christmas time in the Palisades Park, a Santa Monica park overlooking the ocean. But the city of Santa Monica strongly believe Judge Collins made the right ruling.
We are obviously very pleased with the court's decision. It's a decision that we believe fully comports with existing constitutional law.
So all of this to say, no more nativity scenes, nor any other private unattended sign like this anti-God message put up last year.
It's a shame at Christmas time, but Pontius Pilate was exactly the same type of administrator, and he came up with his own excuses for accomplishing the same sort of destructive acts.
From the federal courthouse, Elizabeth Espinosa, KTLA.
Yeah, that's the attorney who called atheists a terrorist when I was on the Huffington Post.
And now we're compared to Pontius Pilate, yeah, who actually put to death their loving Savior.
So what we have on the phone with us, Damon Vicks, who's really the fellow behind all of this, very innocently. He's an FFRF member. He's a set builder in Hollywood. He works in TV and feature films. And we're delighted to have you back on the show, Damon Vicks.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It was nice talking to you last year, right in the middle of this whole thing, when you guys, you got, what, more than half of the displays at the park, and now this year with this victory. So how do you feel now about the decision?
I'm very happy. I think it's a step forward for the city and for the atheist movement. And it's really I feel relieved because I honestly didn't want to have to do the thing again. It's a lot of work, and it was quite a circus out there last year.
Yes. Now let's go back and what happened last year in the park.
Well, how the whole thing started was actually 2 years ago. The program was basically just a sign up sheet and kind of sort of a green card for the nativity scene group to set up their displays. So I signed up for the whole city block that the nativity scenes usually took up and put one display there. And as a result of that, last year the city decided to limit the number of spaces you could sign up for. And so they limited that to 9 spaces. And I felt that if the nativity scene group had 14 displays and only 9 spaces per application, they might send or submit multiple applications. So about 2 days before the deadline to apply, I rustled up some friends, and we faxed in about 10 or 12 applications about 15 minutes before the deadline, and kind of had, 12 applications versus the one for the Christian group, and we were allotted, 18 of the 21 total spots available.
So we should backpedal a little bit. Basically, you outwitted these Christian groups that have always dominated Palisades Park. Now, they started putting up these enormous, aren't they sort of larger than life, nativity displays back 58 years ago. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The city of Santa Monica actually built the displays with the Chamber of Commerce.
Really?
And the city owned these displays until 1979 and created the program in the park to allow them to be erected for about a month every year.
So this is a legacy of a state church entanglement.
Oh, absolutely. And they shuffled some paperwork around so they don't technically own the displays, but you could walk by that park any December for the last almost 60 years, and it looks exactly the same. The program hasn't changed. It's still the state sponsorship of quite a few religious displays.
Now
and it's quite a spectacle. They're all lit up, and they are full-size dioramas.
So when they're lit up, then that must be public lighting, then.
You know, that's one thing I checked into. The first time I applied, I was told the city did not provide power. But after poking around for a while, I found out that you did have to go through the city to get the power run to your displays.
And so the city had at one time owned them and put them up, and now are they actually owned by churches and the churches put them up?
Yeah, it's owned by a group called the Santa Monica Nativity Scene Foundation or something like that. And it's a coalition of, I think, 14 churches, the Santa Monica Policemen's Association, which is a private group, and some attorneys and some plumbers and some various other companies are involved in this organization.
So something must have happened in 1979 where it transferred from city ownership to outside private groups then.
Yeah, that's correct. They were threatened with a lawsuit by the ACLU and another atheist group, and the deal was that the city would divest interest in the displays and there would be no lawsuit.
But it's still very important legally that what transpired after that was a legacy of this very egregious ownership and hosting of the display by the city. And so
I agree, yeah. I was at a tremendous disadvantage if I wanted to put up a display that was equal in message, in size and scope to the nativity scene that the city built, I probably would have had to spend about $80,000 to build comparable displays. So really the only way to get an equal size display was to limit the number of Christian displays that were put up.
And so last year you outwitted them. You gave these Christian churches a little taste of their own medicine. Mm. And boy, were they mad.
I did. They were pretty upset.
So besides our wonderful winter solstice sign, which you hung up in there, what were some of the other displays that you managed to get up last year?
The other displays were one that I built purposely to sort of be this ugly monstrosity in a kind of a cage, which was just a piece of plywood that I hand-painted a quote from Thomas Jefferson that said, religions are all alike, based on fantasies and something like that. And honestly, I can't remember the exact phrase. I set up a nativity scene looking like structure, and inside it hung a banner from American Atheists that read, 37 million people know myths when they see them. What do you see? And then a picture of Poseidon, Santa Claus, Jesus, and a guy in a devil mask. And I set up a bunch of other smaller signs, which were quotes. One was a quote from John F. Kennedy that said he believes in a state where the absolute separation of church and state. Sorry, I don't have a
Yeah, that's the quote, though. That's the famous quote.
That's the quote. And a quote for the Supreme Court from, I think, 1947 that talked about not 1 cent of public money going towards to support religion.
That would be the Everson
and
case?
Quote, yeah. That's correct. And a quote from Robert Ingersoll about being good and loving one another. There was just another sign that said, love is all around us, and that came from a group called Atheists United, which is the local Los Angeles group.
So a real coalition.
My first thought when I set this up 3 years ago was to strictly have founding fathers and Supreme Court justices ideas on public property. Because I didn't want it to be me speaking. I wanted it to be our heritage. And I thought that if this ever went to court, there was a seven aphorisms case I heard about where they were denied access to a public space because they had no historical, no reason to be there. There was no historical context. So I put everything into a sort of a historical context.
And so then the, I think we're about ready to take a break, but before we take that break, there was just all hell broke loose last year.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. There were news vans everywhere.
And so the city did the right thing.
They did the right thing. And from what I understand, a lot of people wanted to cancel the program for quite a while, for decades. But it just wasn't an easy thing for the city to do. It was so unpopular. So this sort of gave them the motivation, I think, to do what the city council and the attorney for the city, they all kind of knew this was the right thing.
And so what they did was say, we're not going to allow any more unattended displays on public property, putting an end to this so-called tradition. And also,
that's correct.
And also applying equally to everyone.
Absolutely. Everyone has the same guidelines. You can still set up a display there. You just have to tear it down at the end of the day and have someone standing by it.
Thanks, Damon. We'll continue after the break. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio. We'll continue our conversation with Damon Vick.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
We're back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are talking on the phone with one of our very enterprising members from California, Damon Vicks from Santa Monica, who's a set builder in Hollywood and who is the person behind a big hullabaloo in his town of Santa Monica, where there was a decision on Monday by a federal judge denying a preliminary injunction that a Christian group requested on behalf of 14 churches in Santa Monica that insisted that they have the right to plant these enormous nativity displays in Palisades Park in Santa Monica. So welcome back, Damon.
Thank you.
And then can you tell us a little bit more about the litigation that's transpired since you first started protesting these?
Well, the first thing that happened was that the 2D scene group hired a group called the Liberty Council, and they proposed new rules for the city to adopt or to consider. And this was trying to avoid the city banning the displays entirely. And those were rejected. And the city scene people have now hired another attorney. My understanding is that the Santa Monica city attorney spoke with the Liberty Council attorney, and the Liberty Council had no problem with the city canceling the displays. They couldn't see an issue with that. So the nativity scene people had to find an alternative lawyer. And at this point, it hasn't gone to trial, and I haven't been to any of the proceedings so far. But they have simply denied the request to allow the nativity scenes to be put up this year.
So this year, for sure. There's nothing there this year.
Absolutely nothing this year.
So this was a federal judge on Monday, and he denied the preliminary injunction, but then a trial. Do you know when that trial date is set?
December 3rd.
So there's going to be more action on this. It's not the final word. But what the city has done, I think correctly, to avoid all of this acrimony and divisiveness and the idea of this is a very beautiful park, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. It's a million-dollar view. It's on top of a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean and the Santa Monica Pier.
And the palm trees and the sunset and all of that. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very long, kind of narrow park that you can go there on a Sunday and you'll have a group of 40 people running down the path and a bunch of bikers. When I was setting up the display, Arnold Schwarzenegger drove by on his bicycle. A lot of people are out there.
So what the city wisely decided to do was, instead of ruining the view, instead of having all of this acrimony, we won't allow any overnight displays at all. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I remember
and
looking
one
at...
One of the reasons... Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, one of the reasons they cited was that it was very expensive, that they spent over 240 man-hours administering the display, winter displays in Palisades Park is the program. So they spent a lot of time administrating the whole thing last year, and that was one of their main cases. That the park is also trampled by a lot of visitors, and it destroys the grass. So that was another reason.
I remember looking at some of the media circuits from last year with all of your displays and the nativity scenes, and it was really tacky to the point of ugly, because I think all of them were enclosed in these chain link boxes. Like, it wasn't like a beautiful open thing. It was like, I don't know, a really tacky looking, ugly display that you had to walk around these enclosures.
Yeah, they're tacky. They're just mannequins with, you know, fake beards glued onto them. And they all have chain links to keep the vandals out. I think seven of our displays were vandalized, and those were the ones that were not behind chain link.
So, I don't know what you've been getting, but I mean, FFRF, because we were very proud to be part of this protest display that you put on with our banner, we've been getting a lot of coverage, newsmaker from Australia, somebody from a podcast in London, AP, there's been a lot of interest in this.
I did the Michael Medved show about this issue yesterday.
But what we're getting is this aggrieved response from the Christian right and from the attorney representing the churches. I was called basically a terrorist by him on Huffington Post.
By the attorney?
Yeah, by the attorney. Or, you know, the atheists, in quotes, are termed as these in derogatory ways, like we're not really citizens, and they act as if they're being their liberties are being squelched. And I wonder what your reaction is to that.
I would expect them to be very angry. It sort of goes hand in hand with their deep religious beliefs, and you're not going to be able to convince them otherwise. These are people that are kind of extremists. Obviously, they don't understand who we are and what we believe, and it kind of rolls off me pretty easily. I was kind of accosted while I was setting up a display face to face, and that was nerve-wracking. But
also, there's a sense of entitlement by the Christian groups, you know, that
Well, that's because they've been allowed to do this for 60 years. They can't even imagine not having their displays up every Christmas, because most of them experienced them from the time they were born, and this is the problem that the city has created.
Now, Damon, you live you live in the area. Do you see nativity scenes on the lawns of churches?
No, I have not.
So what's wrong with that picture?
Yes, it's crazy. It's absolutely wrong. There's no way the city of Santa Monica could start a program like that today if they were to decide to set up nativity scenes on public property. It's just a leftover from the McCarthy era is really what it is.
I was on the Michael Medved show this week, and one of the callers said, shouldn't the government be free to represent the culture that we live within? And I said, well, atheists and agnostics, we're part of the culture too. Aren't we free also to display our views and celebrate this natural season in our way without having the religious right being so bullish about it?
Well,
I agree.
And also, I think it's always ironic, we're trying to steal Christmas, we're trying to steal all the fun, this is what Pat Robertson was saying. And here, you know, these are people who don't even know that there is a natural holiday, you know, the winter solstice, and so many of the customs they associate with Christianity date to the winter solstice, which we could all celebrate, the shortest and darkest day of the year, signaling, you know, the return of the new year.
Well, that's what our banner said that was hung up there. At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail.
Now, Damon, what is your background? How did you come to free thought?
How did I become an atheist? Mm-hmm. Boy, I became an atheist in my pastor in confirmation class challenged me to know why I believed in God. I must be certain. And so I went away questioning why I believed in God. And it was a slow process. I think when I heard the phrase, if God did not exist, man would have to invent him, I started thinking that God might not exist. And from there, it was an easy transition. It just, I realized within a couple of years that I was an atheist, and all of a sudden I was in school reciting the pledge and being forced to say, under God. And I was very upset. We tried to salute the flag Nazi style and got reprimanded. We just were helpless at that time. And I vowed I don't ever want to be helpless to the state enforcing religious beliefs on me. And seeing these displays in 1990, 20 years ago when I first saw them, I was very offended. I felt like that was the same state forcing me to look at and be a part of some religious display just by going to a park.
Well,
here I am 20 years later. I just had some time off work and a little money and decided to do something about it.
Well, congratulations. We are very pleased with this, we hope, ending to this violation. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Damon Vicks.
Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing and engineering another good show, and Buzz Kemper for announcing. If you want to know more about Free Thought Radio, go to ffrf.org/radio.
Get a copy of our current Free Thought Today, a very lively 24-page newspaper reporting all of FFRF's actions and about members like Damon Vicks. You can call 1-800-335-4021 or go to ffrf.org, or better yet, join us, support us, support our suit against the IRS for not going after the election nearing of churches, and tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.